All right. The time is 1:01 p.m. Central Time on January 10, 2023. And I am convening this video conference meeting of the Texas, of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for the purposes of carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed December 29, 2022 and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official meeting of this minute, minutes of this meeting. We do have a quorum. We have all members of the committee here. Also in attendance, we have counsel Shelby Betts and Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, Association employees Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty. And from the Texas Department of Insurance, we have Brian Rewe and John Walker. And hopefully I didn't miss anybody else. All right. And with that, Bart, I guess we can move to item one, consideration of the minutes of the July 12, 2022 meeting. I guess there's that consent agenda and related resolution on the screen. So Dean or Ted, I'd entertain a motion.
This is Ted, I move adoption of the consent agenda.
This is Dean, I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and second. All approved, say aye.
Aye.
All right, consent agenda is approved. All right, item two, Bart, cash flow projections and expenses for active insolvencies. You and Jarrett want to walk through that?
Yeah, this is pretty, excuse me, I have to get there. There we go. As you'll recall, we started a different presentation of this at the last meeting. Instead of giving you all the narrative and explanation, we thought we'd just put the numbers on the screen and then just talk about it quickly. What you have is a list of what we call the active insolvencies, the insolvencies where we have obligations that are due and payable to policyholders, and we've been activated for those insolvencies. So we provide you for each insolvency the benefit payments that we have made through in 2022 through November, what we project we will pay in benefit payments in 2023, and then the benefit payments we believe will become due after 2023. The last column to the right are the liquid assets for each insolvency as of November 30th, 2022. In essence, the funds we have available for that specific insolvency to meet those obligations, as shown on the table. What this table shows you, there are four insolvencies: Northwestern National, Calanthe Mutual, Time Insurance Company, and North Carolina Mutual, that we do not have funds on hand to meet obligations. Actually, on those four, we have some internal borrowings we've been doing to pay for expenses, and we've begun to fund obligations. So what this schedule will show you, if you look at those four, and you look at the benefit payments that have been paid in 2022, the 2023 benefit payments, and the available liquid assets, not dealing with anything after 2023, to address the obligations that are going to be due in 2023 or to reimburse the obligations we've already paid with borrowed money, it's $1,063,084. So let's just call it $1,000,001. That amount of money will be relevant later when we start talking about a potential Class B assessment. Jarrett, is there anything there? Do you think I've glossed over or you'd like to add to this schedule?
No, I think you got everything.
And Jim, any questions from the committee about this presentation and the point we're trying to emphasize with it?
Well, I'm following Bart. Ted or Dean, obviously, feel free to jump in if you've got any questions.
I'm good.
All right. You can keep rolling, Bart.
Okay. If I may, I'll go on and move into item three.
Yep.
And This will address the Lincoln Memorial and Memorial Service Life Insurance Company accumulated funds. And the committee's been talking about this for its last two meetings. And at the last meeting, and I'm not going to regurgitate everything we've gone over before and all the detailed discussions we have, I'm just going to go back to what the committee recommended to the board at the last meeting, what the board adopted from those recommendations, and what activities we've done to meet those directives from the board as recommended by the committee. So let's start with them. There were four specific steps or actions that we were asked to take. Now, I have them here on the screen, but I'll talk about each one of them with a little more detail. First was that we were to pay from the Lincoln Memorial Memorial Service funds the amounts due to 63 member companies for the premium tax credits they still have available with the comptroller based on their share they have paid of the $114 million of Class B assessments for Lincoln Memorial Memorial Service. So out of $114 million of assessments, assets were created, written off, and those written off amounts credited against premium taxes, only $505,000 had not been taken in credits for these 63 companies. So on September 1st and 2nd, Jarrett sent checks to those 63 companies. They range, I don't have the range in values, but nothing as high as $100,000, maybe $50,000, down to, we had a couple of 1 and 2 cent checks, if you can believe that.
Highest was 28,000.
So on those 1 and 2 cent checks and a couple for a nickel and one for a dime, but that exactly matched the balance available at the office, at the comptroller's office. Out of those 63 checks, 53 were negotiated. 10 stale dated, had to be voided, and we reissued those just recently. So those 10 checks are still outstanding. There's $55,025.98 that had not been cashed from those checks, but we reported the entire $505,000 amount to the comptroller has been paid to the companies. So the premium tax credits have been eliminated at the comptroller. So we will continue to work with these 10 companies, just get them to try to negotiate their checks. So it's been a lot of phone calls and emails and reissuing, and we'll see where we get. We will let you know.
Quick update. 22,587 of that 55 has been cashed.
So a couple haven't been negotiated since we reissued. That's great. Okay. So that was the first action. The second action we're asked to take is to fund the administrative expense shortfall for 2021 and the 2022 administrative expenses from the Lincoln Memorial Memorial Service monies. Now, when we say administrative expense, these are not administrative expenses related to specific insolvencies. For insolvencies, we've been activated. These are what I would call general overhead or Class A eligible expenses, something we would do in a Class A assessment to fund. So we'll put it in the middle of the screen here. Yeah, the 2021 expenses that we paid from these Lincoln Memorial funds, $1,211,743. And then through November 30th, 2022, that's the date that we closed financials prior to this meeting, we funded in 2022, $2,021,183 of administration expenses. So you can see there, $3.23 million of admin expenses paid from the Lincoln Memorial Memorial Service monies. So that was the second action item. The third had to do with the reinvestment of funds. And the committee recommended, the board adopted, that any Lincoln Memorial Memorial Service funds that we had invested in treasuries that matured, that they be reinvested in treasuries to mature on September 30th, 2023. Now, there was also a directive from the association. I think one of the committee members may have recommended it. As we're reinvesting money, if we could reinvest for a shorter period of time and increase yield, we should try to do that. And the yield curve is kind of interesting. Right now, It peaks at about 6 months. And then as you go out longer, the returns are less. That had been about a 90-day period was the peak of the yield on treasuries. So we have around $30 million that will be maturing in Lincoln Memorial monies on February 28th, Jarrett, is that right? So we have Lincoln Memorial monies maturing in February around $30 million, and then each quarter a little bit more, and the last is maturing September 30th. What we will do is to reinvest those maturing funds into new treasuries to mature September 30th. And you might ask, why September 30th? What is the magic in that number? Some of the other steps that we were asked to take, and I'm about to talk about one in just a moment, to finalize all pending matters related to these Lincoln Memorial Service Funds, we are hopeful we can have them resolved by July, your next meeting. And if that's the case, any further instructions from the committee that they might recommend the board do with respect to these funds, we would have then those funds liquid and available in September to carry out those actions. So it's a little bit of advanced planning. When do we think we're going to wrap up pending matters? Okay, so with those reinvestment, number three, out of the way, let's talk about the last item. And we have an update on this one, and it's going to get a little complicated. We're going to only touch and introduce this topic here, but because it involves some confidential settlements from litigation, I'm going to withhold some of the details and give a more in-depth explanation in executive session. But let me talk about the remaining litigation proceeds. I'm going to throw them into two buckets, liquid and illiquid, pretty simple. The liquid assets or our share of assets that are either in the receivership estate or being held at NOLGA, then being gathered and pending some of the outcome of some of these matters to be distributed. And in those assets, it's really the NOLGA assets. Our respective share here in Texas is a little over $414,000. And that's really all we think we were going to have left from the liquid assets in the estate or at NOLGA. But we do have some illiquid assets. And as I said, I'm not going to give you the detail, but here's a short but complicated summary. As part of the settlements and handling of litigation, there were three sources or streams of recoveries that were obtained by the parties that participated in the joint prosecution agreement. One of those are the restitution payments from the criminal defendants. And those are a trickle, and they'll go on for a while. Now, a couple of those defendants are young. A couple of them, well, at least one was released from prison because he was terminal, and that was years ago, and he's still kicking. So they could go, but at death, they will end. So that's one cash flow. Second cash flow involves a block of policies for Hollywood Forever, that is a funeral home and a pre-need seller in Los Angeles. There was a specific settlement there with Tyler Cassidy that dealt with these. And I won't go into the details here because of confidentiality. And then the third cash flow dealt with another settlement from litigation with Bremen Bank. And there's another group of pre-need policies held in a specific trust account that were transferred to the joint prosecution agreement parties. So the association has a share, a significant share in these future cash flows, and so do other parties. What's being discussed is a mechanism to remove some of the other parties that have interest in this and kind of simplify future recoveries. Jackie's been involved in some of these discussions. We've had some separate discussions with some of the other parties. We're in the middle of some negotiations right now. But we would like to find a way to wrap, to a certain extent, wrap those up and clean up these three streams of illiquid assets. And I will talk about that more in executive session, but that's really all that's left to do in this insolvency, to have these accumulated funds ready for some decisions. Okay. So those are the three things four things we have done in response to your recommendations to the board. If I could put on the screen, just tell you where we are, our current position, what are the funds we are holding, where we think we're going to be. This is a simplistic schedule that doesn't go into all the details of some of the prior schedules we've given you. The association assessed $114 million through premiums, distributions from the estate and litigation recoveries. We recovered over $90.5 million. Then through our expenses, our benefit payments directly to consumers, and assumption reinsurance payment, we funded a little over $158 million. We had additional admin expenses of 3.2. Those are the ones we just talked about for 2021 and 2022 that you authorized. There was a market value adjustment here of 1.4 million. I believe, Jarrett, that is in the when some of the investments matured. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's the market value adjustment done to those treasuries held for Lincoln Memorial.
So where we are right now is we have a position of $44.4 million. We have a few other liquid receivables, about $281,000 that we think we could be getting as part of these NOLGA monies, and a potential distribution of $414,000 I talked about earlier. Any settlement we're able to negotiate is going to, we're going to need to use part of those distribution monies to pay, to resolve. So I have projected net position of $45 million. I think it's going to be more in the range of about 44.7, 44.8. And there could be a little bit of investment earnings as some of the other T-bills mature. So that gives you a ballpark of where we are right now. Let's say about $44.7 million. And Jim, all I intended to do in this item is update you on the activities we've taken, tell you what we have in funds, and it kind of sets the stage for our discussion later in executive session. We are going to have a recommendation of we do believe there is some need to use part of these funds, and we'll discuss that when we can do it confidentially.
All right. Thank you, Bart. Ted or Dean, any questions for Bart or for Jarrett?
None for me.
Not hearing any from Dean. I guess we can move on to item four.
Okay. All right. I put this as a separate item just because I did want to lump it in the others, but I just did describe it. I wanted there to be a record of what these illiquid assets were. And I mentioned them here, the death claims under American Memorial Life. Those are the ones from Bremen. The death claims from Hollywood Forever. That was a settlement with Tyler Cassidy. And the restitution payments. I think there are six different criminal defendants that they have to pay restitution. So when we get to executive session, I'm going to put some numbers on each one of these for you. Compared to the other recoveries and some of the other monies we're talking about, these are not big numbers. Not at all. But if you have questions on these, committee, I would say I'd ask you to hold them. I'm going to give you a little more hair on the dog in executive session.
All right. Does that bring us to item five, Bart, investments?
Yes. This is a normal schedule we always show you so you can see what we have in cash, what we have in treasury bills. And Jarrett is good to break it out between our two brokerage the schedule and show you. As of November 30th, you can see the cash and money market funds that we have. We have two brokers, Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan. You see, have about $2 million in money market funds and cash at those two companies. Wait, there's JP. Oh, here's $2.245 million in cash and money market funds. And then in treasuries, we have it is right at $61 million, $61.6 million in treasuries. So total investments, cash, and treasuries we're holding, $63.9 million. And if you look within these schedules, the Lincoln Memorial service lines, that's the biggest chunk. That's where you have the $44.7 million I mentioned earlier. So 44.7 out of 63.9 is Lincoln Memorial service. Now for a quick review of some of the treasury yields, as I mentioned earlier, you can see the yields go up between 90 and 180 days where you see them peaking and then starting to go back down as you go longer out, longer maturities. And then we have our 61.6 market value of treasuries that are laddered to mature quarterly out through June 30th, 2025. Specific note, the second and third lines on this column, those maturities coming due February 28th, that's $30 million. And I believe, Jarrett, those are all Lincoln monies? Or very close?
Yes. No, those are all 100% Lincoln funds.
Those are all Lincoln funds. So at the end of February, we will reinvest those and look either to take them directly out to September 30th. If we can get a little better yield at an earlier date in here, we may, but it'd have to be significant. I'm kind of predicting that it's probably going to be a September 30th targeted maturity date. So any questions on this investment schedule or any of the other investments?
None for me, Bart. And not hearing any from
Dean. I'm good.
Okay. Sorry, Dean, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. I'm good with it.
All right. Item six, Bart.
Okay. Annually, we ask the committee to take a look at their investment policy. Jarrett and I also look at it to see if we see anything that we might recommend be refined, added, deleted, adjusted. We've gone through it, and we still think this investment policy has good breadth, a lot of different opportunities, but also has controls in place where certain investments can be made only with board consent. We think this investment policy serves you very well, but I'd ask the committee if they have any thoughts or questions about any potential revision.
Thank you, Bart. I don't have any kind of proposed revisions or any questions. Ted or Dean, anything on your ends?
No, it looks good.
Yeah. With current markets, I was just considering that we make sure there's no language with relation to term, but to return. And that seems to be the case. So we're good. I'm happy with this.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I don't think there'll be any action on that, Bart. Item seven, did you want to defer this until after executive session?
I think the one thing I would like to do at item seven on assessments is just point out once again, show the schedules that how we came up with these numbers of if we were, if I'm going to point out, I guess as you should call it class A needs and class B needs. I don't want to recommend any type of assessment be authorized or recommended to be authorized at this point until we've had executive session. But if I could just put up the schedules. Mm-hmm. You can see this cash flow. What we have here is what we have on funds in on hand and our projected expenses for 2023. And this does tie right back to the operating budget that Jarrett has developed. That will be presented to the board of directors on January 24th for their approval. But you can see with these projected expenses and the funds we have that we believe it will be right at a $2 million deficit at the end of 2023 for administration expenses. Jarrett, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. This is... The projected operating expenses are Since this is a cash flow, this is only cash, so things like depreciation are taken out. So it won't be an exact match to the budget, but this is what I think is going to be truly paid out in cash for the next year.
So without any other funds, we would say this will be a Class A assessment need. Let's hold that thought till we talk a little later. The next schedule here, well, we don't have a schedule on it. That schedule was actually earlier. I was showing you the cash flow need. We didn't repeat it here. There's a $1 million cash flow deficit to repay loans for insolvencies that we've already been activated and to fund the 2023 obligations. So if we were going to do an assessment or recommend an assessment today, we would ask you to consider $1 million. And of course, the board always has the option to continue to borrow funds from internal. You could borrow or use these Lincoln Memorial funds. We'll talk about that in executive session. Or we could do an assessment. So there's a couple of different ways we could source these needed funds, but at least one of them borrowing is only temporary, and we'd at some point have to consider an assessment. So in summary, Class A general administrative overhead expenses for 2023, the needs are $2 million. And for Class B, the needs for 2023, $1 million. That's all I wanted to set the stage with on that item, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. Helpful kind of background.
I'm sorry. That was the assessment side. I should mention the refund side. There is a schedule, and I'm going to make it smaller. Excuse me. So it'll fit on page. There we go. This is the cash available needs schedule. And all the reds you don't see on this schedule, those are shortfalls. But you have to remember this schedule, it is not just liquid assets. We also have receivables and other assets that are, some of them are illiquid. We have these recoveries coming. We don't have those monies right now. And then there are payables on here that are not just 2023. Those are our total, what we project our obligations are in entirely for an insolvency. All the blacks are the items where we have right now accumulated funds that we, based on the known expenses, that these are greater than our expenses. Some of those are significant amounts, but they're on active insolvencies. They're subject to clawback under early access agreement. So they cannot be refunded because until the estate finishes its work, we may have to return some of those funds under the early access agreement provisions. There are a number of dollars on here that are going to be eligible for refund, but Jarrett and I have discussed on these, we want to make sure we do all the investigation of the premium tax offsets that have or have not been taken, and that takes time. So we are going to go through this list with those that may be refunded or are eligible for refund based on the status of recoveries and the status of the receivership estates, and then request the information from the comptroller and see how many premium tax offsets have not been taken. On some insolvencies, it's a little easier to do because there may have only been one assessment for that insolvency. On some other assessments, there have been four or five assessments. And in those assessments, sometimes, like an assessment, let's just pull it out of the air, done in 2012, we may have assessed in Class B for six different insolvencies. All of that has to be unwound with information from the comptroller and investigated to find out exactly how much of it was for this specific insolvency and where are the premium tax offset credits for that insolvency. So it's a substantial undertaking. At this point, we wanted to show you the schedule and let you see there's a number on here that need to be investigated. And what Jarrett and I are recommending is we start with those that are eligible, as I mentioned, based on the status of the recoveries and status of the receivership estate, and then have high dollars. And we put effort into the meaningful amounts and come back to the committee in July with a solid recommendation. We may not have time to address more than 5, 6, 7 of these. I can't tell you until we get into them. We definitely won't get all of them researched. So this is going to be a process. And Jarrett is really happy right now because he knows that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun.
I did a test case on some, and it takes a lot of time. I promise you. So we'll be back in touch.
Right. Now, does that cover it, Bart, for 7?
That does. I apologize for forgetting the refund side.
That's all right. I forgot it too. All right. So we're going to run into executive session. So I need to recess the regular session. The time is 1:32 p.m. Central Time on January 10, 2023. And I am recessing the regular session of the Assessment Investment Committee meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act.
Hey.
We're recording in public session.
Okay. The time is 2:16 Central on January 10, 2023. The executive session of the Assessment Investment Committee has ended, and I am reconvening regular session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. So, Bart, I'm going to guess jump to number 9, possible actions discussed in executive session. If you want to scroll down. So we did talk about management of the Lincoln Memorial Service Funds. And I think we have a proposed resolution on the screen. Any other discussion, or I would take a motion.
This is Ted. I move adoption of the resolution.
This is Dean. I'll second.
All right, we have a first and a second. Any further discussion by the committee? All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the resolution recommendation passes, Bart.
Thank you.
And then item 10, Bart, anything? Sure, we'll meet in July.
Small comment. We have flagged Tuesday, July 18th is the next meeting of the committee. And in the material here, it says it'll be 2 weeks before the quarterly board of directors meeting. That was scheduled as really only 1 week before, but we're going to be doing some talking with the board at January 24th. We need to make sure whether that the meeting for that quarter should be July 25th or the next August. So there's a couple of potential conflicts I need to iron out between now and the January 24th board meeting. So in essence, the July quarterly board meeting is a little bit in flux. I need to check on a couple of items, but this July 18th date for your meeting is firm.
Okay. All right. Any questions, concerns about that date from committee members? All right. Is that anything else, Bart? Or does that wrap up what we need?
Jim, that's all I have today. I want to thank the committee for their indulgence and their attention to some sticky issues. And they're very, very tough at times to explain, but I appreciate you guys are very attentive and do a great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Bart, Jarrett, everybody. We're all set
Jackie
to wrap.
Shelby, just keep me out of jail.
All right. Well, hopefully that's not a problem. All right. The time is 2:19 p.m. On January 10th, in this meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee, the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association is hereby adjourned. So thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Appreciate everybody's.